Well, thank you for joining me. Let's pray. We'll pray the chaplet. I know we all have needs, don't we? We all have intentions. And so I just want to pray for you now. All right, I do. I want to pray for you and with you. If you are a member of our Divine Mercy Intercessors, if you pray with me every day, if you pray for others during the chaplet, Mass was offered for you this last Friday at the Chapel of the Nativity. So I just wanted to remind you of that and let you know that Masses are being prayed for you. The chapel's being prayed. Of course, you can pray with Father Rocky every evening at 7 p.m. as well and pray the rosary with him. It's always a joy to do that. Pray. We need to do it for protection over our country and over our loved ones and just to implore God's mercy. It works. It makes a difference. Before we start the chaplet, I also just want to bring to your attention one other, I think, really important intention and a great blessing for you and for your loved ones. And again, I want to credit Relevant Radio for this. This is such a great idea. We're just a couple weeks away from the beginning of November, right? And November 2nd through the 10th, we're going to be praying a novena for your departed loved ones. And that's the month that the church sets aside to dedicate the holy souls in purgatory. We should be praying for them every day. Really, you should be having Masses offered. Remember them in your rosaries, in your chaplet. In fact, today, let's pray for anybody in your life that you loved, that you've lost. Anyone who may not have been close to God, who might need his mercy. But we're gonna do a novena, and here's what you can do. This is such a great way to tap into the power of Mass prayer. You're going to have not only all of our spiritual family who are going to be praying, but Mass. And there's nothing more powerful than the Mass that will be offered. From January 2nd through the 10th, there will be Masses offered for your departed loved one. They're going to be remembered every day here in the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And then, of course, at 7 Central, Father will be praying the rosary for him. So you got some big guns. You got the Mass, the Chaplet, and the rosary, all for the soul of your loved ones. And you can submit the names of anybody in your family. It could be one person, two person, it could be 20. I mean, I don't know, maybe you have a pretty large family. So there's no limit. And the souls in purgatory need our prayers. Maybe even remember those priests or those forgotten souls who need God's mercy. But all you do is go to relevantradio.com/souls, okay? Relevantradio.com/souls and create a list for your departed loved ones. We're going to gather them all, and then that novena kicks off on the 2nd, okay? Mass at noon, chaplet at 3 p.m. Central, rosary at 7 p.m. Central, and you can pray on the app. Hey, I'm joined right now by my colleague, Celine. She is going to pray the chaplet with us. Celine, good afternoon. Anything you want to pray for?
Hi, Drew. Yes, I'd like to pray for my fiance, Brandon.
All right. So when's the wedding?
March of next year. We're getting closer.
Well, we got a lot of time to pray, so that's good. We'll pray. There's no problems, no pandemic, no incidences. I know a lot of weddings were really affected by the pandemic as well as funerals. So Lord, we pray for an end to this pandemic. I pray for those who are getting married. I pray in particular for Celine and all of her intentions, all those who have written to me and all those who are now on hold with me. And let me just share one or two quick intentions that came in, if I could be so indulgent, and we'll just ask God to please have mercy on them. And of course, you can send your intentions to Twitter at Drew Mariani Show or email me drew@relevantradio.com, and I'll try to open those up for you. So here are a few of those. This person says, you pray for Alan, who's in the hospital with severe lung problems. It's non-COVID related. Another person says, could you pray for me to find a future husband who loves God? What a great prayer. Can you pray for my sister Claire and her husband? They're trying to conceive and have had two miscarriages. We'll certainly pray for those. Another person writes, I've asked my husband to leave the house yesterday. I need prayers for my family. Our youngest son is 12 years of age and is having emotional issues due to my husband's negative relationship. Will you please pray for me and for healing? Another person says, pray for my two daughters' conversions to return to the church. And they asked me to share their names, I guess, for Molly and for Emily. We'll lift them up, all right? And for all of our children and loved ones who are away from the faith, let's pray for that. And we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expire, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. Esmeralda is praying with us in California. Good afternoon, Esmeralda.
Good afternoon, Drew, and God bless you, and I love you for everything you do for us. My intentions are for my family, for my parents, and to have peace in my family for the love of our parents. For my son, who has his birthday today, I want God to bless him and give him wisdom and to do what is right in his life. And for my daughter, she's going to have a state exam for her to get her license, and I know she's stressed out, so I want her to have peace in her heart and God to give her strength and wisdom to pass her test.
All right, well, let's lift up all those important intentions. Esmeralda, thank you for your kind words, and thank you for those prayers. We'll pray right now together. And Lord, I pray for health. I pray for those who are suffering with dialysis and dementia. I pray for discord in families. I pray for healing and unity amongst family members as well. I pray for all those having birthdays. We pray for those also who are facing exams and certifications and need to pass tests. And I just bring you these very temporal intentions, and we just ask for your mercy on them. We bring them to the foot of the cross as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Tony is praying in Diamond Bar, California. Hi, Tony. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Love you. I'm praying for you and your family.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
My intention is for my cousin's husband, David, in Massachusetts. He had a brain tumor, had surgery, was scheduled for a follow-up MRI, but because of COVID, it was postponed. And so he finally had it, and the tumor is back with vengeance. He had another surgery, and he's about to undergo radiation for 8 weeks. So I'm praying for a miracle for him.
All right, well, let's do that. I'll join you, okay? I will. And we will pray together, all of us here, for that miracle. And, you know, we see these situations all the time. I just was reading one earlier today about a woman who was praying. She, too, had cancer. And this was through the intercession of St. Charbel. And she went and she prayed and she asked a friend for a blessing, this priest. She was from Australia. I think she was in Lebanon. And you take a look at the photo, it looks like St. Charbel in it, the man who was blessing her. She got back to Australia. When she went to the hospital, they ran these tests. The cancer that she had and she took this pilgrimage for was gone. totally and miraculously disappeared. So, Lord, I just pray for miracles. I thank you for these little bits of witness that you give us. And I do pray in particular for all those who are battling cancer, who have tumors, who have life-threatening diseases, where the doctors say there's nothing more that we can do, or situations, Lord, that look impossible, be them finances or health or relationship. With your mercy, with your precious blood, Lord, I know with your love you can reverse these situations. So I bring these individuals in these situations to your merciful heart, and I place it within it, and I ask you to begin to work these miracles that so many are seeking, so many who are trusting. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our third decade, before I go to Anita, let me bring Maggie in. She's been looking at a lot of the intentions that have come in. Maggie, who's asking for prayer today?
We got a call earlier today from Pamela from New Jersey. She said, please pray for the soul of my late niece, who was murdered 9 years ago, and she was only 12 years old. So let's pray.
Gosh.
Let's pray for that whole family. Kat wrote to us and said, please pray for a friend who is currently in surgery, and this should finish her cancer journey. So please pray for healing and recovery. Edward wrote to us and he said, pray for me. I've been fighting many battles and feeling like I'm losing right now. Julie's asking for prayers for Kelly, who has a rare lymphoma. She is a wife and a mother and has had brain surgery. Chemo will begin soon. Let's pray that she's completely healed. And Gabriel's asking for prayers for his daughter Jessica, who gave birth on Friday and her blood pressure has been acting abnormally. Wow. So let's pray that she's okay and that the baby's okay. Yeah, lots of intentions today.
Maggie, what's the name of the gentleman who has given up hope?
His name is Edward.
Edward, all right, I'm going to pray for him. You know, it's tough, and I've been there. I mean, we all have been there, where we face a situation and we're praying, and it doesn't seem like it's bearing any fruit. We just don't see light at the end of that tunnel. And Edward, I just want to say to you, you know, greater is he who is in you than who's in the world. And it comes from the Gospel of John. Greater is he who is in you than who is in the world. And you know, I don't think we meditate on that enough. If and when you do, if we did it enough, I think there'd be less fear in our lives. There'd be more hope. We would be able to exercise our trust in greater capacity. God is infinitely more powerful than any of the problems that face us. And he loves us in a way that's beyond our human comprehension. So I'm so grateful for this time we can pray together. I'm so grateful for this chaplet and the promises the Lord has given to us. And so grateful for the many miracles that God has allowed us to see so that our faith can be emboldened. So I bring you all these intentions that Maggie's brought forward. And Lord, I just ask for your mercy on them and all who are now united with me with prayer. And let me sneak Anita in on this decade as well. Anita, good afternoon. Anita, hi, you with me?
Yes, I'm with you. I'm sorry. Your voice lowered.
Thank you very much, Drew.
I appreciate everything you do in your ministry, and it's really amazing that a lot of the prayers you're praying today are things I needed to pray for already, and I almost feel repetitious. But my family, all of my family needs conversion and health healing, including myself, and I especially need financial healing and guidance in some big things that are coming up. And I'd like to pray for everyone at Relevant Radio, because I get a lot of inspiration from all of you. I thank you for that.
Well, sweet. Thank you. Well, let's pray for you right now, Anita. We're with you, and we're going to lift up those finances, and we're going to lift up cancer and all these intentions that have come up. And I'll give you Anita in her heart. Again, I bring my sister Anita along with all of my brothers and sisters here, and we just implore your mercy, Father. that you hear our cries, our prayers, and that you show in a very powerful way your presence in the lives of those who are now asking for your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Christy, praying with us in Minnesota. Hi, Christy, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew, it's good to hear from you. Okay. I have a couple of prayer requests. The first is I pray that my mom doesn't have cancer. Another friend, a friend, Vicky, has MS, and her husband has terminal for brain and lung cancer. So I pray for healing and that they know Christ. And finally, I want to pray for my friend Joe, who's in the psych unit, and he's trying to convert to Catholicism. Well, he's trying to get the anointing of the sick and trying to come back to the church. So I just pray for strength and that he can return back fully into the Catholic Church.
Those are great prayers. Well, let's pray right now for all of them, Christy, and for you, especially for your mother. How's she holding up, okay?
We don't know yet. We don't know if she has cancer yet. She has an ovarian. She has to have an ovarian surgery. Okay. And so we're just praying that she doesn't have cancer.
Okay, well, let's pray for her. We'll pray for the other friend that has brain cancer. And Lord, I just give you every one of Christy's intentions. The thought of cancer in and of itself is terrifying. I remember one time I was not well and doctors couldn't find out what it was. And at one point, that's what they thought it was. I was like, oh my gosh, it really puts into perspective your mortality. It does. But I pray for the family of all those now battling cancer. Pray for those with brain cancer, with inoperable tumors, those who doctors have not given a long time to live. I pray for those with upcoming surgery, Lord. And I pray for all the other intentions Christy has just voiced. I pray especially for those who are away from the faith and those who do not know you, Lord, those who do not love you. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Gabriella, listening to us in New Mexico. Hi, Gabriella, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. And I'm asking for prayers for my granddaughter, Janae, who has leukemia, that she be healed. For my daughter, Lisa, who has real bad arthritis, and it's affecting her whole body. And for myself, that the pressure in my eye go down by November the 9th, so I don't have to have surgery, and for all my family.
All right, well, let's pray for that, okay? No surgery, Gabriella, right? I think of the...
Yes.
I think of Philippians 4:6-9. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, make your request to God. And then the peace of God will transcend all of our understanding. And Lord, I pray right now for all those who face these very troubling situations. I pray for those with cancer, with leukemia. We pray for our children. I pray for those who have grandchildren, Lord. I pray for those with chronic pain and arthritis, and pray for those with eye issues. Lord, I give to you those united with me in prayer, especially those impossible and very difficult situations, like that mother right now that wants to terminate her child, or that person who doesn't think life is worth living and is thinking about harming themselves. Lord, I pray for those suffering addiction, those who are battling with impurity and impure relationships. I want to pray for those who've rejected you, for the souls who've gone before us. Lord, I want to pray for those most in need of conversion. And I want to pray for those consecrated to religious life, those now tempted, now sick, now sorrowful, now confused, now persecuted. I give you those souls. I unite those intentions to all who are praying with me. And I pray in gratitude because I know you hear these prayers as I trust in your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Charbel,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. I can't tell you how much I value it. I want to sneak a quick call in here before I have to take the next break. Vinny is listening in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and I think he's got a Divine Mercy story to share. Hi, Vinny.
Hi, Drew. How are you? I just have to say to everybody, don't lose faith. This prayer truly works. I put the Divine Mercy up on my front door at the beginning of the pandemic, and with all my heart, I believe that that kept the virus out of my house. I truly believe with all my heart that Jesus has protected us from the virus. Never doubt the Divine Mercy.
I love it. Well, Vinny, thank you. I'm with you. I believe it. I shared that story, if you missed it, right before the chapel. I shared a story about a man whose son should have been killed in a car accident and survived, and he credits the image of Divine Mercy. There's so many miracles that can be attributed. There were mudslides in the Philippines. There's stuff I didn't even put into my book. The vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina, Father Seraphim Michalenko, had shared so many of these stories with me. But if you don't have an image of Divine Mercy, get one. You know, I have one in my office. I have one on my phone. I have one in my car. I really do believe in the promises that the Lord gave to this prayer, that he gave to those who spread his mercy, to those who honor and venerate his image, to the hour of mercy, to the feast of mercy. God is good. This is the devotion of our time. I'm telling you, it's a powerful, powerful one. And you know, pray it. Don't lose hope. Don't lose trust. You'll see. You'll see the fruit of it. You'll see how God manifests and how he comes through. Trust me. Trust me on that. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we can talk much more. I want to talk about something called the bystander effect. Did you hear what happened in Philadelphia or outside of Philadelphia with a woman on a train and what people did? This woman was attacked. I don't want to go into too much detail, but look, stay with me. I'll fill you in on a story that to me is quite revealing about where we are in the culture today. It may be a wake-up call for all of us. I'll be right back.
Your Life Connected.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. So good to pray with you. First and foremost, I want to say that, and you can pray every afternoon at this time with me, and I would encourage you to do that. And of course, 7 o'clock Central Time, Father Rocky will lead the rosary. If you like the interactive prayer, please join him for that as well. I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to try to be very cautious with my words, but you might have some young ears and you may not want them to hear what I'm going to share. I heard a story that disturbed me. And as I zoomed out from it, I thought, what would I do in this situation? And ultimately, what does it say about a much bigger picture? What's it say about the time that you and I are living in right now, the culture that you are living in? If you have young kids, you don't like disturbing stories again. What I'm going to talk about here is going to be a little, it's disturbing for me. It's not graphic, but it's just the concept is disturbing. There is a train system in the Philadelphia area called SEPTA, Southeastern Pennsylvania Transit Authority. And it was going from Philadelphia, I think, to one of the suburbs. I think it was going to Upper Darby. And it went by one station, right? And as it went by, a SEPTA employee called the police, tell them that something was not right with one of the women passengers on the train. And when it got to the next station, police boarded it, and they found that something indeed was not right. This woman had been raped by a stranger on the train. Now, it was 10 o'clock at night. It wasn't that late. Here's the really bizarre, the very troubling, very disturbing aspect of this story. That woman was raped in a car where other people were. There were other people on that train. And you know what? No one did anything about it. Nobody stepped into the guy. No one. No, here's the thing. Okay, now some you might say, oh, I know this guy could stab me. He could shoot me. I don't want to get involved. I didn't know what to do. I was afraid. Okay, I get that. But not one person even called the police. We live in an era today where you don't need a payphone, right? You don't have to get off and use a rotary dial. You've got a cell phone. Every American has a cell phone. Somebody could have very quietly, even in fear, cowered down, called 911 and said, hey, here's what's happening. This is what the guy looks like. Nobody did a thing. No one stepped up. So the police supervisor for Upper Darby, he told the press, the local paper there, he told them that, look, there was a lot of people, in my opinion, that should have intervened. Somebody should have done something. That's what the officer said. And he says, look, it speaks to where we are as a society. I mean, who would allow something like that to take place? It's so troubling. I said to my wife, when I heard this story the other day, I said to her, you know, I'm no hero. You know, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3" and some change, right? It's like, but I'm not a fighter. You know, I believe in peace. I believe in using words, not my fists, you know. But I'll tell you what, even if it meant me getting stabbed or shot, I would have intervened. I would have gotten up there and I would have thrown that guy off her. People like this, quite often, these bullies are the biggest cowards of all. You know, but maybe not. Maybe I would have been injured, but at least somebody would have come to this woman's aid. You know, the troubling part is, I mean, she went back to the hospital where authorities met her, and she gave them pertinent information to who this guy was. I believe he was picked up. But you know what's got to really mess with their head? And maybe you've suffered rape in your own life. Maybe your sister, somebody you love, your wife, maybe you, maybe it was somebody close to you. That's a trauma that goes beyond the physical wounds, beyond the physical actions. I mean, it lives in the head. It wounds the heart. It burrows into the soul. It's an act of violence. And then to know that your fellow human beings, other people, didn't care enough to even intervene. I mean, what does that say? One, about those individuals, but maybe we should zoom out. What's it say about the culture at large? And I think about this. When you lose respect for the dignity of the human person, then anything goes. Mother Teresa once said that the fruit of abortion is nuclear war. And people think, what the heck does that mean? This is what it means. You know, if you can kill a child in the womb, if we can't respect the dignity of the human person, life at any spectrum doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's one child in the womb, a woman being objectified and abused on a train, or the annihilation of nations. That's what happens. And that's where we are as a culture. We've become so callous today. We've rejected God and we've rejected the gift of life, the greatest gift of all. We've rejected it. And this is the fruit of it. I mean, it really is. It's troubling. I mean, really, it's an understatement. But this is not a new thing. And I'll share one other story I reflected on a little bit earlier this morning. And I said to my producer, I said, I remember a story that took place in 1964. I mean, there's been documentaries done on this. This has been taught in schools. You might be familiar with the story. There's a phenomenon called the bystander effect, right? And that's what sociologists have labeled it. When people sit around while somebody else gets injured, hurt, robbed, mugged, killed, right? According to the theory, the more people there are around, the more an individual is less likely to intervene when something bad happens. Now, does that make sense to you? I guess you're sitting back saying, well, it's not just me. You know, let this guy do it. Let that person do it. I'm not going to get involved. But if one person stood up, I guarantee you a bunch of people would stand up. And you see it on airplanes now. I see people gang jumping somebody who's out of control, right? So I was really surprised when I heard the story. But the idea of the bystander effect, it goes back to 1964. There was a woman named Kitty Genovese, or Catherine Genovese was, I guess, her official name, but they called her Kitty. And according to the New York Times, there were something like 38 people who watched or heard this woman being raped. She was coming home, going to her apartment, and this guy stabbed her to death. He killed her in two separate attacks, and nobody did anything. This woman cried out for help. She screamed for help. And it turns out, you know, that the story was almost totally fabricated, some say. Kitty Genovese was raped. She was killed. And Winston Mosley admitted to doing it. But the report that 38 people heard screams or saw what was happening, did nothing at 3 in the morning. There's controversy over how accurate that was. But whether or not it was accurate, whether or not two people heard it, one person heard it, or 38 heard it, the story led to the idea, to this concept of the bystander effect, something that is still studied by psychologists and sociologists today. And it's also eventually led to the creation of the 911 system, right? And thank God for 911. Why can't somebody on that bus or that SEPTA train dial 911 and save this person's life? Or you see somebody being robbed or attacked somewhere else, 911, that's what it's there for. At the time, 1964, there was no cell phone and there was no central place to call the police either. So, but I thought this is important to talk about. I'd love your perspective. If you want to join me, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Where are we today? In a case where a woman could be raped on a train with eyewitnesses sitting around with cell phones in their pockets or their purses, what does that say? How did we get to this point and what can we learn by this? Is the bystander effect cover? Is it an excuse? I'm joined today by Mary Helen Fiorito. She's an attorney. She's been a longtime contributor to this program here, and it's always a delight to have her with us. She's also a longtime friend of Relevant Radio. I know you'll hear her on Morning Air with John Morales. I've heard her there many times, and I've invited her back once again to give us her perspective. Of course, she's the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center of Washington and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. And Mary, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Drew. Always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
It's a very troubling story for me. When I heard the story, it made me angry, made me want to intervene. There's nothing I could do. I have real trouble getting my head around this. I mean, what were your thoughts when you heard today of all days? I mean, when people have cell phones, you're on a train and you see an individual doing something like this. I mean, why wouldn't one person get up or at least shout or throw something at him or do something to try to break that up rather than bow their heads and allow this horrible crime to be committed? Give me your assessment on what drove this and where we are today as a culture.
Yeah, so I guess a couple of things. First of all, I'm glad that you referenced the Kitty Genovese case, because that's one of the, you know, most infamous cases that a lot of people, frankly, misremember, because the initial reporting on it was so wildly inaccurate. You know, I think it was the New York Times that did this story afterwards saying that 38 different people had, you know, basically witnessed and heard this young woman being stabbed to death, and no one did anything. And that actually wasn't true. In fact, it was Ms. Genovese's own brother who many years later did, you know, very thorough investigation of the circumstances surrounding his sister's death and found that, you know, because she was stabbed in two separate places, that most people who heard her, first of all, there weren't anywhere close to 38 people, and the small number of people who did hear her, you know, one person thought it was a couple arguing with each other, and, you know, they thought it was a domestic violence situation and they didn't want to get involved. I mean, this was in the 60s, too, where people tended to, you know, kind of not get involved in those sort of things. But, you know, as it happens, a 70-year-old woman in the building did call the police, went downstairs, and actually held her until the ambulance got there. She was still alive then, but she died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, and it was later discovered, you know, one of the stab wounds punctured her lungs. And so, you know, there's a lot of speculation about who might have even been able to hear her, because her ability to project her voice was incredibly, you know, limited because of that puncture wound in her lungs. So, you know, that led to the whole discussion of the bystander effect and how could all these people just sit and do something. You know, it is one of those situations where I think unless you were in the moment, I'd be actually interested to know how your wife reacted when you said you don't care if you would have been shot and you would have jumped up and done something. You know, because, I mean, I live in Chicago. We have, you know, there is tremendous violence going on in our city right now. Sort of the general rule of thumb is, you know, you don't, if you see something happening and you are not a trained law enforcement professional, you do not go and try to insert yourself into that situation, because you could very well wind up dead yourself.
But I couldn't sit on a train. I couldn't sit on a train as it's chugging along from one stop to the next while a guy is raping a girl and everyone's sitting in their seats.
I mean, what is the matter with people? I mean, that's completely agree with you. Yeah, and I think to any man who is a Christian gentleman and a good man would never sit and allow this to happen. You'd get up and at least make a commotion. If you don't think you can take the guy yourself, you get a couple other guys to come with you. You know what I mean? There's strength in numbers, and it sounds like there were a number of people on that train. And if there had only been one person who had kind of had some leadership quality to say, hey, let's do this together, I think you may have seen people willing to act. I think people individually probably would have been frightened. And again, I'm not trying to make excuses for for bad behavior, but I see that kind of paralyzing fear. I mean, I know of somebody who was on a Chicago Transit Authority bus, and there was a woman just beating this little boy. I mean, and she said everybody on the bus, including the bus driver, froze. She was like, we didn't know, like, it, she said it was, the, she said, I've always thought that in that situation, right, I would have jumped up and been the, you know, but she said it, she said, I'm so ashamed, but she said none of us knew what to do. Finally, right, I think somebody got off the bus and got a police officer, but, you know, what I don't understand, I'm totally with you on this, Drew, is that no one could lean over and, like, I think there's a way you can even text police now and call 911 or something, or attempted to call the transit authority and 911 to stop this train. There's a crime going on. I don't understand that at all.
To your point, though, I mean, honestly, John Quinones of ABC does a program, I think it calls What Would You Do? I think that's the title, but I don't recall. They go undercover and they create these fabricated scenes where, you know, somebody in a restaurant is drugging, you know, his girlfriend's drink, right, or the mother's yelling at a, you know, some stranger's yelling at a young kid, or, I mean, these very awkward situations. where, you know, socially it's like, well, do I intervene and say something to that person? Do I, you know, whatever the situation is. And I'm always amazed at the heroic nature of so many people who do the right thing. And then in some of those situations where a parent's disciplining their child or something else, I'm thinking to myself, gosh, would I intervene in that? I don't know if I would, or in such a public venue, would I? There are certain situations where I think I would certainly, you know, be a little more timid, and others where I certainly cross the line. Let me do this. I take a short pause. When we come back, let's jump into the phones. If you're on hold, we'll get your call. You can join us, 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at a woman who was violently attacked on a train, and bystanders did nothing. They did nothing. This happened outside of Philadelphia. And I'm just taking a look at what's called the bystander effect and how evident it is today. And, you know, is it reflective of where we are in our culture? And how do we change that? And what do we do personally? We'll talk about that and much more when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, and thank you for joining me, putting our finger on the pulse of what's happening culturally in our country. And I'm hoping the story I'm sharing with you is, of course, an anomaly, that it is not, you know, a regular occurrence. If you're just joining me, I'll bring you up to speed very quickly on what we're talking about. There was an assault that occurred on a SEPTA train in Upper Darby Township. That's a little Philadelphia suburb. And surveillance video on the train showed several people on the train during the incident doing nothing at all, right? And here's the thing. A woman was raped on this train. Nobody called 911. The assault allegedly went on for 8 minutes, and people may have been recording video of the situation, right? The woman is now on the mend in the hospital. She's the doctors and police say she's unbelievably strong, and the attacker was arrested, and he's charged with rape and indecent assault. But there were other people on the train who witnessed this horrific act, and they it would have stopped a lot sooner if somebody would have called 911, or if as a group, how about as a collective? And maybe you don't want to get up individually. How about call the other people? Let's stop this. Let's get in this guy's face. This woman may not have been violated the way she was. So it really is unfortunate. In August 2020, there was a man arrested after he allegedly raped a woman on a subway station at a subway station, I should say, in Manhattan. It was interrupted by a Good Samaritan, and there's video of it. It shows a 31-year-old man on top of the woman, and police say, you know, this guy went in, multiple witnesses were there, and somebody broke it up. It only takes one person for other people to get on board. My guest, Mary Ann Fiorito. Mary, it's good to have you. Mary, forgive me. I keep saying Mary Ann. Mary Hallin Fiorito. I'm in the habit of saying Mary Ann. Mary Hallin Fiorito, good longtime contributor to this program and a good friend, too. And I always appreciate her cultural perspective and her well-formed faith. Let's just jump right into the phones, Mary, and we'll take a few phone calls. Frank is listening in Chicago. Frank, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, Drew, and great program. I'll be really brief. My daughter had something really bad happen to her yet. Two incidences. One, it was 529 North Michigan Avenue during Lollapalooza last year or the year before, where this gentleman was, you know, beating up a girl on the sidewalk, plenty of men, grown men around. Nobody did a damn thing. My daughter went in and started taking a beating for this girl. And same thing. It was unbelievable.
God bless her.
Second incident, you know, yeah, she's an angel. Second incident happened in school in Michigan. Same thing. Boyfriend at a party started beating a girl, dragging her out the door. Nobody did a dang thing. My daughter went out, got body slammed. She had concussion. And again, you know, grown, you know, I'll call these men, they're over 18 in the college, you know, we're around, and yet did not step in. And it's just amazing. Like you said, you know, all it takes is one person and, you know, do it in numbers. So I just want to contribute that there are people out there with the guts, and my daughter's an angel.
Well, Frank, you should be so proud, which I know you are, of your daughter. I'm thinking, gosh, My sons need to find a daughter like that. That's fantastic. A good girl. Frank, thank you very much for that call. And it gives me a lot of hope. I know it gives a lot of people hope as well. There are people that are willing to intervene. And when you're outgunned by somebody who's violent or drunk or bigger than you and still being willing to step in, man, that's, she deserves a medal of honor and courage for that. Mary, your thoughts. You heard Frank. I mean, that's such a great story. What a wonderful girl.
Well, yeah, I mean, God bless his daughter for seeing injustice. And Frank mentioned, you know, I know that spot exactly on Michigan Avenue that he's talking about. And Lollapalooza in general terrifies me. I do not allow my girls to go to it. My older teenage girls have have never gotten the permission to go. I've heard too many stories like Frank's to be comfortable with it as an event. That being said, Frank references a group of men who saw this and didn't do anything. Again, I can understand, especially in Chicago where there is so much gun violence, hesitancy of a sole person to want to intervene. But if there's a group of guys, I don't see how they can't say, hey, fellas, come on, let's jump in together and do this. That I cannot wrap my mind around, and I cannot wrap my mind around somebody not at least stepping aside and calling police and saying, you know, somebody needs to get here and get here quickly. You know, there is, I think, a prudential judgment call always to be made, particularly if you're a woman or a person who is alone. Am I capable of handling this situation, or am I going to make things worse? And I know that, you know, our best selves, you always want to intervene to help another person. But, you know, I grew up in a parish with lots of cops and have many good police. My husband's from a police family. And many of them will tell you, you know, you need to be very cautious if you're going to jump into something, because it very well could end up in the loss of your own life. Right. You need to. So again, anybody can pick up a phone and call. That's the piece of this I don't understand. Right. If there's strength in numbers, if there's a group, I think that's always the safest thing to do. And not to jeopardize, you know, your own life in a way, and possibly, you know, the life of another person. So I do think, and again, these things are all very situational, aren't they? Right. Every situation is not going to be the same, but this, you know, this one case that you've brought our attention to, it just seems that everybody was just sitting there. And as you point out, I'm sure every one of them had a phone. And that no calls were made to 911 or to the police or to anybody, that I cannot comprehend.
There's some reports that people were videotaping this. People are more concerned about recording something than they are actually intervening. It's frustrating.
Honestly, it's disturbing. You know, what on earth? I mean, is this? Is it callousness? Is it just that we've become so detached, you know, from humanity that it's more important to get the video than it is to actually help them?
I do think that there's something to it. I think, you know, and I don't want to get too off track on it, but I do think, you know, when we lose respect for the dignity of the human person at all stages of life, this is a natural byproduct of it. You know, when we don't respect life, we don't respect the individual. You know, what are we going to do? I mean, people are more concerned about their own well-being. They're not willing to intervene. Let me go to the phones, though. Catherine's listening in Philadelphia. She's a retired police officer. Love to get her take. Catherine, good afternoon.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Great, Catherine. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I was a Philadelphia police officer for 27 years. I worked in the subway for almost 16 years. And may have tried to call, because if this actually happened underground, because the Market Frankfurt L, at that location where I believe the attack took place, would be underground. So if you're in a train, in a tunnel, underground, there's not a very good chance your phone is going to work to make a call. I mean, it could be. There's a possibility, but there's a very good possibility it wouldn't. So something else to consider is that there's an awful lot of lawlessness going on in the city of Philadelphia, very sadly. But, you know, I myself was a victim of, when I was a police officer there, I was attacked, and I was calling on my police radio for help, but nobody could hear me. And I had to run to our emergency phones that we had. They had them placed on the walls, like every so many, you know, feet, all through the subway, because a woman had gotten raped years ago and was left there, and nobody found her for hours. So I had to run to one of those phones to call to get help. So and that you know there's a real problem with reception down there.
Well, Catherine, thank you. It gives me a little bit of hope because to have so many people sitting on a train and not making a call, if indeed that's where the assault took place. Again, I don't know exactly where the train was at the time that this went down, but I'm grateful for your service and grateful for your input. And Mary, let me sneak very quickly in because I have only about a minute left here. Gail from West Bend. Gail was raped when she was 16 years old. Hi, Gail. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Yeah, like you said, I was raped when I was 16, and it took until I was 40 years old to be able to get over that trauma. I have forgiven the rapist, even though he never went, you know, was tried for it. But as far as that woman on the train, oh my goodness, I would have stepped in right away. I mean, I would never want another person to ever go through, you know, what I went through for so many years. And it sickens me to hear that people were, you know, taping it and not intervening. And
I agree. That's what the local law enforcement said too. I think one of the police there said, you know, he just didn't understand why more people didn't do something. They were there. My thanks to Catherine, to Gail, and Mary. Mary, let me give you the final words. I only have about 30 seconds for you, though.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, Gail and Catherine, both of you, for sharing those stories. Catherine, in particular, gave us some context there. If the train was underground and there was no service, of course, that explains why no one was calling. And I would just ask people kind of keep this story in your thoughts and prayers, and more details and contextual information may be coming forward, but this is an important thing to talk to family and friends about for sure.
Yeah, and if you're ever in a situation like that, you know, safety is important, but ask God also to help you do the right thing.